Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I want to start the show today by talking about the theme of improvement. Improvement that still needs to happen for Georgia and some Georgia players in particular, and examples of improvement that's already taken place for this program. And I think this is going to be a pretty fascinating look at just how much Georgia has grown over the course of a year and just how legitimate Georgia's chances of really being in the thick of the championship conversation are in 2019. Let me start with the center of all the action for Georgia this upcoming year. That's quarterback Jake Fromm. If you want to go back to Super Bowl week, when we were at Super Bowl opening night in downtown Atlanta, we had a chance to catch up with Trent Dilfer. Dilfer's obviously a former Super Bowl winning quarterback himself, but in addition to that, he's now the head coach of the Elite 11 camp that takes place every year. He knows, Dilfer does, the full gamut of all the top quarterbacks in college football, what makes them good, what they need to improve on, where they were as high school guys, and how they've developed from that time until now. And we asked Dilfer straight up, hey, what does Jake Fromm need more of? For Fromm to take another big step forward in 2019, what does he need? And Dilfer, who's a pretty opinionated guy, didn't hold back with his thoughts on Fromm. Here's what Dilfer said about Georgia's quarterback.
I think he needs to be a little more athletic at the position. He needs to improve in the pocket. He needs to improve his movement patterns. He's got the arm. He's got the brain. He's got the toughness. He's got the leadership. He needs to step it up a little bit athletically. And at that age, you can still improve athletically. So we'll see what this next year has for him. But for me, my emphasis if I was coaching him would be show a little more dynamic qualities as an athlete.
All right, a couple things about this. First of all, I do think it's interesting to hear Dilfer say, at the age that Fromm is now, he can still become a better athlete. If that's indeed something that he needs, and a guy like Dilfer knows this stuff well, if he says Fromm needs more of that, he is still at an age where you can find that extra reservoir of athleticism. I think that's kind of an interesting piece of evaluation to hear from Dilfer on that front. But what's more interesting to me than that is the word that Dilfer uses a couple times there, athleticism, 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 work on your athleticism. Here's one of the things that makes Jake Fromm really cool. You get the sense that Fromm has a really good understanding of what he does well and what he needs to do more of. Let me go back to about a year or so ago when Fromm was talking about his own development back then, last summer, when he was looking to what he wanted to do more of in 2018. The word that Dilfer uses to say, hey, I need to see more athleticism from Fromm, apparently even last offseason, that was already on Jake Fromm's mind. So if you're thinking about how much Jake Fromm can improve in 2019, let's go back to last year and hear Fromm himself talking about the ways in which he's trying to improve. And one of the things that I think you'll enjoy about this is what Dilfer's objective analysis of Fromm is. Fromm's own analysis of himself is apparently pretty similar. Here is Jake Fromm on this same subject.
I've been tough on myself, really trying to become a better athlete. You always want to get bigger, faster, stronger, trying to get better throwing on the run and this and that. And just trying to kind of attack those things that you kind of have a plan on what you want to get better on and, trying to go attack those things every day. Kind of make a mental note, kind of during your workout on what you want to work on. And you got to have a plan and just try to follow the plan, try to get better every day. Hopefully it'll kind of work out in the fall.
Now, isn't that kind of neat? Fromm, a clear student of the game, when he talks about his own need to get better, it's almost like he sounds exactly like Trent Dilfer. Dilfer says, hey, I need more pocket awareness. I need you moving around the pocket. I need you showing that athleticism more. And Fromm says, I'm trying to do those same kinds of things. Fromm said that last summer. Dilfer said this a couple of weeks ago. But the two evaluations of Fromm from himself and then the quarterback coach Dilfer were overall pretty similar. Now, here's where I'm going with this. The best part of all of this might be the evidence that's out there that Fromm's ability to work and get better and improve, that he's actually already taking great strides in that regard and maybe taking more of those strides in the season to come. For instance, if you want to go back to around this time a year ago, when Athlon Sports published its top 50 players in college football for the 2018 season, well, Jake Fromm is only number 39 on that list, okay? But when Athlon just published its latest list for the 2019 season, Fromm had gone from number 39 on the list to number 6 on the list. A massive, massive jump. So if you're thinking about Fromm taking the next step in the development of his career, we've already seen some evidence from a year ago that's certainly capable for him. He went to from being kind of among the top quarterbacks in college football or on a long list of top players in the sport to now being on the shortest of short lists, both at his own position and of all players of all positions in college football. I think that strikes a tone of optimism for what Fromm may be able to do this upcoming season. But the news for Georgia fans actually gets better than that. Because it's not just Fromm that's taken a big step forward. It's the entire program overall. As I said before, one of our themes to start today's show was going to be improvement. Improvement's the kind of thing you hear Kirby Smart talking about a lot. It's not just Jake Fromm who needs to improve in Kirby Smart's mind, nor is it just Jake Fromm who has improved in Kirby Smart's mind. Kirby is demanding that from all players at all positions every single Saturday during the season and every single day of the offseason. You've heard Kirby say this a million times, but here's just another example of just exactly how demanding Kirby can be.
We have to improve. We've got to get better. A lot of things we can work on to get better, and we're going to continue to do that. I thought our team worked really hard last week, and we improved in some areas. We got to continue to do that.
I mean, that quote from Kirby could be from any game, any week, at any point in time. He's kind of always talking in that regard. Well, let's give some evidence and let's give voice to just how much improvement has taken place. A moment ago, I said, if you want to go look in Jake Fromm, just isolate him alone. Last year, he was on the Athlon Sports Top 50 Players list. You may say, what's the value in that? I don't know that there is any value. It's just one evaluation metric that we have. And when you make the year-to-year comparison, this is kind of interesting. Last year, when Athlon Sports, the website that publishes the top 50 list, when it published its top 50 players, Jake Fromm was number 39. He's grown here to number 6. What I didn't tell you, though, is that Jake Fromm was the only Georgia player on the Athlon top 50 list a year ago. Georgia was going into the 2018 season viewed by a national publication that's got a little prestige to it as having only one player worthy of being among the 50 best in college football. Well, guess what? When Athlon re-released its top 50 list for the 2019 season a couple of days ago, guess how many Georgia players were on there? If you're watching on video, I'll show this on a full screen. Georgia's got not just 4 players on the list, but 4 players in the top 33. It's Jake Fromm at number 6. It's Andrew Thomas at number 18. It's DeAndre Swift, maybe too low, but nonetheless on the list, number 31. Then J.R. Reed at number 33. Now imagine that. If you want to really isolate just how much Georgia's grown over the course of a year, you go from a year ago where Georgia was, you know, among the favorites in the SEC, among the, you know, best odds for the national championship, but according to some objective observers, just one top 50 player. Now it's 4 players in the top 33. I think we all have a sense that the Georgia roster has grown over the course of Kirby Smart's time. And we all have a sense that 2019 is, in many ways, the full embodiment of just how much improvement's taken place. Well, here is some facts to back that up. People that are outside the bubble of Dog Nation, people who are looking in on the Georgia program from afar, when they look at Georgia compared to the rest of the college football, they see that elite top-end talent. By the way, on both sides of the ball, and a lot of different positions. It's a defensive guy. It's an offensive lineman. It's a running back. It's a quarterback. That's a pretty good building block for success in the upcoming year. And I think when you want to talk about the fact that Georgia goes from just one top 50 player a year ago to 4 players in the top 33 for this year, I think that's one of the reasons why Georgia, in every sense of the word, is a legitimate national championship contender for this upcoming season. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are in podcast form pretty much wherever you find podcasts. We're just glad you found Dog Nation Daily here today. Let me also take a moment to remind you that today is actually our last broadcast for a few days. I apologize for stepping away, but we're going to recharge the batteries and reboot the system for a couple of days here. We'll be back again exactly a week from now. Our next show will be next Thursday. So we're off tomorrow. We're off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. That's all platforms. We're going to be off for the next few days, but then back live again as normal next Thursday, rolling all through spring practice and everything else. So give us a few days here to recharge the batteries, let our staff that helps do the show each and every day kind of have some rest and relaxation. We'll be back again next Thursday. We certainly appreciate you allowing us to take that time off. All right, coming up in a couple of minutes, we've also got a really fun interview on today's show. There is a national writer who says that he believes that Georgia is a very good bet for the national championship. Now, based on what the Athlon Sports folks have just said, there's obviously some reasons to back that up, but we'll let Bill Bender from the Sporting News explain that coming up in just a couple of minutes, and I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation here on Dog Nation Daily today. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse. Here today, presented by Online Trading Academy, and I started the show with some good news and some good feelings about how many Georgia players are being regarded as among the best in the sport. I do have to speak on a slightly different subject for a moment now, and I think that this is important. It's not necessarily bad news, I don't think, but it is something that Georgia's going to have to deal with. We have just discussed for a while about the branding issue that Georgia may be facing when it comes to its offense, and going out and getting George Pickens on National Signing Day is a great way to combat this, but ultimately still, there's going to be a little bit of pressure on Georgia offensive coordinator James Coley, I believe, in 2019 to show that the Georgia offense is more than just running backs and offensive linemen. It's good to have those things, but you want to show that the Georgia offense is more than that. And I think it's recruits in particular who are looking in on Georgia to see, what can you show me offensively? How can you show me that you compete and go side to side, head to head with these elite offenses that exist in college football right now? I'm going to invite you to check out Jeff Sintel today at DogNation.com, who's got a fascinating piece with five-star tight end Arik Gilbert. You're going to love reading this. You may have seen some with Gilbert yesterday on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger. Jeff and I do that show each and every week. Jeff had a chance to catch up with Gilbert. We had a video interview on that. Gilbert is among the top targets that Georgia will pursue in all of 2020. Gilbert's also got some other suitors, as you might imagine. One of those is Clemson. And Jeff asked a very good question to Arik Gilbert. If it's Georgia versus Clemson battling for you right now, how do you see these two programs as being similar or different? And to go back to the theme of Around the Doghouse here today, presented by Online Trading Academy, Gilbert is essentially calling to see Georgia, show me some of what you're going to do offensively. In the new era with James Coley calling plays, this is a very important statement from Gilbert. Listen closely.
Georgia versus Clemson. How do you compare those two schools?
I mean, they're somewhat similar, but Clemson, I feel, passes a little bit more. So, I mean, that's the difference between them, I guess.
I mean, I'm sorry. When I was watching this yesterday, just like you on Before the Hedges, what Gilbert says really echoes in my head. Here's a guy that Georgia really needs, a guy who's said, even though I could make, you know, tens upon tens of millions of dollars playing defensive end in the NFL, I want to play tight end in college because I'm an offensive-minded guy, he says. And right now, it looks like, according to Gilbert paraphrasing, the more dynamic of the offenses may be Clemson in comparison to Georgia. I think that puts a little bit of pressure on James Coley to show what the Georgia offense is going to be about in 2019. You don't have to run the ball less, and you don't have to be less dominant along the offensive line, but you need to add the other complement to that. Now, it might be one thing to easily disregard this if it was just Gilbert who said it. And by the way, you can see more from Arik Gilbert and Jeff Sintel's piece coming up at DogNation.com today, and I hope you will check that out. But as I was saying, it'd be easy to disregard this if it was just Gilbert who was saying that. But we've heard other recruits kind of saying the same thing. I won't even get into what Jaden Hazelwood said a lot during the 2018 recruiting cycle. Let me instead give you an example from E.J. Williams, the really good wide receiver from Phenix City, Alabama, a spot in the South that's known to produce some really good wide receivers. Recently, Williams, talking to Jeff Sintel, kind of echoed some of the same stuff when it comes to the Georgia offense. I'll show you this quote on the screen. E.J. Williams told Jeff Sintel and Dog Nation, "I mean, right now I fit really well at Georgia in my eyes, even though they are," and these words once again kind of echo, "run heavy school. They don't throw the ball that much." Now, I don't believe that Georgia needs, as I said, that's four-star wide receiver E.J. Williams for the class of 2020. Now, I don't believe that Georgia needs to run the ball less, but I do believe it needs to change the perception with wide receivers and elite tight ends that it doesn't throw the ball enough. I don't want to subtract running plays. I just want to add dynamic passing plays. And I think all Georgia fans should want to feel the same way about this. Now, I also, based on yesterday's edition of Before the Hedges, get some really interesting responses from Georgia fans on Twitter reaching out to me at Dog Nation Daily. Let me add this to the conversation. First of all, Philip Yu, who tweeted this at me, he says, "I don't think anyone denies that a good running game helps the passing game," Philip says. But then he goes on to say, "However, you've got to have a willingness," and that's in all caps, "willingness to pass. Kirby, as of yet, hasn't been willing to do that in most games, and recruits see that." Philip goes on to say, "I hope James Coley makes a difference." I think a lot of Georgia fans hope that is true. And by the way, the Georgia offense, statistically speaking, has been just fine. It's been up near the top of almost every category in college football. But Philip says there may be a perception issue with recruits, and I don't necessarily deny that. One more tweet I wanted to show you from a Georgia fan comes from Tamora Sullivan, who also adds an interesting context to this discussion when it comes to the way that Arik Gilbert views the Clemson offense. Let me show you Tamoris's tweet here, who says, Dog Nation Daily and Jeff Sintel, he says, yeah, Clemson throws the ball more than UGA, but Georgia actually targets the tight ends a lot more than Clemson does. So in this case, looks can be deceiving. And if you go look at the stats, Tamoris is actually right on this. Clemson has thrown the ball a lot, had two receivers that almost went over 1,000 yards. One did, one came very close. But in terms of getting tight ends involved, the tight end that had the most number of catches for Clemson a year ago was just a guy with six. Obviously, Georgia got Isaac Knott a lot more involved than that. But overall, it's about the perception issue here, and obviously that's what James Coley is going to work on. And this will be a big story in the 2020 recruiting cycle and on the field for Georgia in 2019. Can it show off those dynamic passing plays that impress guys like Arik Gilbert and others? That's going to be a story worth watching. It's Around the Doghouse presented by Online Trading Academy, which provides professional instruction on how you can make money in the markets. Students learn a step-by-step approach to trading and investing. By the way, that's all across an entire spectrum of trading styles, asset classes, in the classroom and online. They've got everything covered for you. So make the best possible decision you can by investing in yourself today. Simply check out this website, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. We appreciate Online Trading Academy presenting Around the Doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, we've got a lot of fun stuff to come on today's program. A very interesting look later on at just how much success Georgia's had recruiting compared to the rest of the SEC East. We'll do that. But for now, as we said, a good friend of Dog Nation Daily, good to have him back on the program. It's Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Glad to have him and you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. So let us take a moment to say hello here to Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Great guy covering college football, and he's written a few things as of late that we thought were pretty interesting. So we wanted to have Bill back on Dog Nation Daily here today. Bill, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing it with us, and welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir, indeed. Let me start with this. You wrote the other day about best bets for the national championship, and obviously we've seen Georgia and Clemson, I should say Clemson, Alabama play for the national championship. And then beyond that, you were looking at some of those other teams that could be real strong contenders, and you had Georgia at the top of your list, and so that certainly kind of got our attention around here at Dog Nation Daily. So would you mind going into some more detail about what you think about Georgia this upcoming season, and especially compared to those two national elite teams that I mentioned a moment ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's most people that if they were picking their national champion for next year, they would start with Alabama or Clemson. That's not rocket science. Those have been the two best teams over the last 5 years. But, you know, Kirby's done a good job building the recruiting. They've gotten a little bit closer with each year. And they've proven they can play with Alabama. I just think, with three top three recruiting classes in a row, talent matters in this sport. And if it's not Alabama or Clemson, I'd probably go with Georgia next.
Yeah, and I know this is going to sound like it comes from the, I guess, sort of red and black perspective of Georgia, but I think it is kind of interesting that Georgia goes down to the wire with Alabama the last two times they played, national championship game at the end of the 2017 season, this past season's SEC championship, and statistically, if you follow like the advanced stats and stuff like that, Georgia has certainly fared, you know, pretty well when compared to Clemson. And yet if you look at a lot of the Vegas stuff that's out there, the online sports books that are out there, there is seemingly still a pretty big gap between Georgia and Clemson, Alabama. And I realize the head-to-head results matter, and Alabama's beaten Georgia, and most people would think that's what Clemson would have done too had they played. And yet I still sometimes have the belief, and I think there are many people in our audience who are kind of a similar belief, that the gap between Georgia and the two, you know, presumed top teams, Alabama and Clemson, may not be quite as wide as some people around college football might think.
I would agree with that. I mean, big question with Georgia next year is you lose a lot in the receiving game. Jake's going to be thrown to some new receivers. So that's one thing to watch. I think the young and talented defense will be better. You know, they've got no shortage of running backs. So, yeah, I mean, the talent gap is pretty close. I think one thing with those odds, though, is it's kind of with Alabama, it's prove me wrong, right? I know they didn't win the SEC 2 years ago, but they beat Georgia in the national championship game. And until Alabama's stranglehold on the conference is kind of broken, then I think we're going to see more of that. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Alabama and Georgia go back at it again in Atlanta next year. Not at all.
You mentioned the need to replace those receivers for Georgia. They're obviously going to lose their top three by at least receiving yards, guys to the NFL, the two receivers, Ridley and Nada, I should say Ridley and Hardman. and not at the tight end there as well. But this also kind of dovetails into another conversation I was having on the show before you joined us, which is the perception that might be out there with some fans, a lot of recruits, that Georgia's too run heavy. Now, the overarching part of this is that the formula that Georgia has used, for the most part, has worked. Georgia's scoring a lot of points, they're racking up a lot of yards, and they're winning a lot of games. But, Bill, from the outside looking in, from the sort of, you know, outside the bubble of Dog Nation peering in on this, how would you compare what Georgia's doing, a little more run heavy than some of these other teams that are near the top of the college football playoff conversation? Does Georgia need that extra dimension offensively, or are you fine with Georgia the way that it's going about its business?
No, I think they're fine. I think they run an efficient offense. I mean, if you look at Jake Fromm's numbers, his, you know, yards and touchdowns might not be up there with the Lawrence and Tua and Haskins last year, but the efficiency of the passing game was. So, and then you have the running game. They resemble Saban's early dynasty at Alabama, and nobody complained about that when they were winning with two running backs and a not a game manager, but, you know, like an A.J. McCarron type quarterback. And I think Jake Fromm's better than A.J. McCarron. I think he's, in terms of what we might see at the next level, maybe not in terms of college accomplishments. I don't want to say that because I know what my Twitter handle will look like then. But you get what I'm saying. Sure. I think Jake Fromm's got a skill set that will transcend to the next level. So I think their offense is fine. I think the big thing this year is, does that defense develop into a monster, which Kirby's recruited enough talent for it to be that. Now, will it be something like what Alabama's had in the past?
Yeah, that's something else that you wrote at Sporting News, which kind of got my attention. I was glad to see you bring this up because, once again, it's interesting to hear your perspective on this from the national level compared to what Georgia fans have been saying for a while. And for the people who haven't caught your piece on this at SportingNews.com, you were talking about the big takeaway from Georgia signing class, and you added the elite defensive names that Georgia signed a year ago, guys like Channing Tindall and others, to the big names that Georgia signs this year, the Nolan Smiths of the world. And N'Kobe Dean. And you said, you know, how are all the, you know, these two signing classes going to add together? And could this be, you know, a real elite defense for Georgia going forward? And Bill, from a Georgia fans' perspective, there are a lot of Georgia fans will tell you that in the Kirby Smart era, the Georgia defense has been good, in some cases really good, especially when Roquan Smith was manning the middle at linebacker position, but maybe not truly elite, maybe not dominant. For instance, not a lot of sacks, not a lot of tackles for loss, but as you point out, the recruiting success on that side of the ball over the last couple of years should certainly set the table for doing that. And I think, Bill, a lot of Georgia fans would say one of the reasons why this team hasn't gotten over the hump yet is because that defense has maybe stopped just short of being truly dominant and truly great.
I mean, that defense with Roquan and Baker 2 years ago that played in the championship game was really good. But you know, when I think of the truly elite defenses in the SEC since the BCS era, you know, there's Alabama in 16, there's, you know, Alabama and LSU in 12. Those were just truly, you know, elite defenses. That's why they played a 9-6 game that year. And then what was the final, the 21-0 in the championship game? I mean, that's elite defense. So, and it's hard to have one of those in today's game, though, because it is all predicated on offense. But, yeah, I think if all that five-star talent that Kirby has accumulated on that side of the ball, the Nolan Smiths, those guys that you're talking about, you know, Brenton Cox, if they turn out to be who, you know, first round, second round NFL talents, then there's no reason to believe that Georgia won't be a monster on that side of the ball for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, when you were talking about best bets for national championships, one of the teams that you also mentioned in Sporting News was Ohio State. And I don't have to tell you how interesting that potential subplot's going to be for the folks around UGA. And it's so funny, Bill, if you go look at any list of national championship odds, it's really ironic how Georgia and Ohio State are listed side by side in almost every instance of this. Obviously, it's Justin Fields at quarterback for Ohio State next season. I mean, it really seems fairly likely that these two programs, Fields and Ohio State, Georgia led by Jake Fromm, they could very well meet in the college football playoff. And I know from the Georgia perspective, that's going to be one of the most wildly interesting things that's ever happened. But I think even nationally, there'd be a lot of curiosity about seeing a guy at quarterback playing against the team that he played for a year ago. But it's not that far-fetched to think this could occur, right?
No, I mean, these are two, along with Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama. Those five schools alone have combined for 75% of the playoff appearances, and they'll be the top five in most preseason top 25s, along with, I think, Texas will probably be in that top six as well. I mean, Ohio State's got a ton of talent coming back. They've had a stranglehold on the Big Ten. I think Justin Fields fits that offense well. He's going to be able to get the Ryan Day era off to a good start. So, and I'm sure Georgia fans will be watching and monitoring that, because there's two ways to look at it. I mean, he wanted to play right away. I get that. But had he stayed at Georgia, I'm sure, you know, one more year, he would have been set up kind of ironically to have that Dwayne Haskins type year with Georgia, where, you know, Haskins waited his turn at Ohio State. But this is the world we live in with transfer quarterbacks. That's not going to change. Georgia just figured that out with both Fields and Eason. Eason's going to be pretty interesting at Washington next year.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's really unusual to see these former Georgia quarterbacks kind of sprinkle across the landscape, and I do think Eason could have a nice year for the Huskies. Let me finish with this, Bill, before we let you go. You know, I think one of the other interesting things about Georgia and its placement in the SEC is over the last couple of years, it's really dominated the SEC East. It's swept the division. I think it's won every one of those games by at least 14 points. On paper, at least, it looks like Florida's getting better. You've written about the Gators a bit as of late as well. I mean, do you see an example of the gap being closed in the East right now? Florida would seem to be the team most likely to do that if it is going to occur. I mean, how much closer do you think Florida is making things with Georgia as of right now? The Dogs obviously have had kind of an easy run in the division the last couple of years.
I think the gap's the same. I think, you know, it's about holding the gap. Because Georgia, I mean, Florida's always going to compete with Georgia for recruits and talent and on the field in the game. You know, that game was tight in spots last year. So I think it is Florida. You got to wonder if Tennessee's going to throw their name into that. And you know, can Kentucky continue the momentum they've had with Stoops up there? They had a nice year last year. I was at that game, though. They just weren't ready for Georgia. So, you know, I think it's about Georgia and Florida moving forward, and maybe Tennessee in a few cycles. But they'll always compete for those recruits. But right now, Georgia still has that advantage in the division, no doubt.
Bill, if people want to find more of your work, the sporting news and some of the stuff you got going on, how can we find you online?
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92, sportingnews.com. We have a Facebook page and everything. So check us out there. We'll have plenty of off-season content. It's a long off season. I can't stand it. But hopefully we have more that you and I can talk about along the line here before we get into September.
Well, look forward to that, Bill. We appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for being a part of the program.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff there from Bill Bender from the Sporting News. And one of the things I do like to do from time to time is go outside, as I like to call it, the bubble of Dog Nation. Find out what those national guys are saying. And as I mentioned with Bill talking, one of the things that he had written that got my attention was when he looked a little deeper at the Georgia signing class. Here's what Bill Bender had written in the Sporting News. He writes, the Bulldogs had 7 5-star commits in 2018, though Justin Fields did transfer. He says, you know, Nolan Smith and N'Kobe Dean and Trayvon Walker combined with Tyson Campbell and Brenton Cox and Adam Anderson, all who made contributions in 2018 to build the nation's most talented defense over the next 2 to 3 years? I think that's a really interesting question, and I think that shows some insight on Bill's behalf. Because as much as we talk about offense, we just started the show with a whole bunch on offense, at least in large measure, about what recruits want to see from a maybe more dynamic Georgia offense, even if that's just perception, that's what recruits kind of want to see, and we'll obviously continue to have that conversation. But I think overall, Bill's right, that the more interesting discussion might be the evolution that's occurring on defense, where the Georgia defense has been really good, really good. 2017 was obviously a really good defense, college football playoff worthy defense. But was it the kind of defense that goes into the historic category, the way Bill Bender just described some of those in recent years, many of those SEC teams who were able to do that? And when I think about the greatness on that side of the ball, the greatness on defense, I'm also thinking about those havoc plays, sacks. Most people would say that Georgia hasn't done enough of those. Even Kirby Smart has acknowledged that the Georgia pass rush is good at times, but maybe not consistently stellar. When you combine the recruiting work that Georgia did in 2018, the recruiting work in 2019, it's not that big of a leap to say, how do all these really dynamic pieces fit in with each other? It's not just sacks, by the way. You can also think about tackles for loss as well. You know, the top elite, true, high-level defenses are major, major factors in the backfield. They're exciting to watch. They put up the big numbers. And the Georgia defense, with the level of talent that's been brought in as of late, all of a sudden that starts feeling like a much, much more likely conversation to have. And that could be one of the things worth watching in 2019. By the way, I'll also invite you to check out yesterday's edition of Dog Nation Daily, where we talked about one of those guys in depth. You know, we pay close attention to guys like Nolan Smith and even Jermaine Johnson, the junior college transfer, because it's easy to draw a line for how they may be contributing and competing on the field for Georgia this upcoming season. It's easy to imagine that. The same thing is kind of true for N'Kobe Dean, the five-star linebacker. We've seen freshman linebackers play some. Georgia had a few in the mix this past year, so we probably talk a lot about them. But when you watch the, you know, we showed the dunk yesterday from Trayvon Walker, and we had some fun with this on Before the Hedges yesterday afternoon with Jeff on the Dog Nation video channels as well. But when you watch that and you think about all these five-star signees that Georgia's brought in on that defensive side of the ball over the last couple of years, I mean, there is a really good chance that we haven't been talking enough about Trayvon Walker, that we haven't been dealing with that as much as we should. Because when a guy like a Bill Bender from the Sporting News starts kind of thumbing through the list of guys that Georgia signs, starts looking at those five-star names, you know, Walker just kind of is included in that list among those. But when you really stand next to him and you see the kind of physical condition that he's in, and you see those videos that pop up from time to time when he shows off that athleticism, you realize, you know what, on this list of really top Georgia defensive guys, Trayvon Walker may be right there in the mix with that. So fun stuff from Bill Bender in the Sporting News. The overall takeaway is Bill seems to think that Georgia on the very short list for national championship teams here in 2019, and some of those young emerging defensive stars might be the reason why. That's certainly the kind of thing that's going to get a lot of Georgia fans excited about the upcoming season, and we'll look forward to doing that kind of stuff from time to time here on Dog Nation Daily. And of course, it's great to have you with us on the program.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, good stuff from Bill Bender from the Sporting News. And, of course, now time for our SEC Through. And let me remind you before we get rolling in the SEC Through too much, today is Valentine's Day, and hopefully you're taking care of the special someone in your life. Or if you're the special someone, hopefully you're getting taken care of today. If you're still looking for a way to get that done and make that happen, don't forget about our friends at Kroger, because today at noon, one more chance to catch up on that chocolate dipping station. I just think this sounds like a lot of fun. Dipping stuff in chocolate never seems like a bad idea. Today's a great time to do that at Kroger. And while you're there getting your stuff dipped in chocolate, you can also get greeting cards, flowers, anything else. Maybe dip those in chocolate too. Who's to say that's a bad idea? But it's all for you at your local Atlanta Kroger, as they got you really, really well taken care of heading towards Valentine's Day. Good stuff for them. All right, SEC Through, a couple SEC stories that I want to get to, and then I want to look some more at the way that Georgia compares the rest of the SEC East, and maybe a little bit of a rebuttal to what we had earlier in the program this week. First of all, speaking of the SEC East, I guess Florida's getting some good news, and I don't remember who reported this first, but it's out there that Todd Grantham is staying at Florida. He's not taking the Cincinnati Bengals job. And there are a couple things going on here that I think are kind of interesting. We are kind of in a weird era for the NFL where you've seen a lot of one-and-done NFL coaches. There's a real high level of impatience in the NFL right now, which may be turning some guys off to that. You know, Derek Ansley apparently is leaving the Raiders to become Tennessee defensive backs coach. That's the kind of movement from coaches you wouldn't have seen all that long ago. Todd Grantham, whose background's in the NFL, offered a chance to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL. It wasn't that long ago that was a no-brainer that you took that job. Now for Grantham, apparently it's not. Now, I guess he's also going to get a big-time raise, upwards of the almost, what, $1.8, $2 million range to stay at Florida. So that's kind of a big deal on this. But Florida holding on to its defensive coordinator. Now, for a lot of Georgia fans, they view this as good news because they don't think of Grantham as a very good defensive coordinator. And I guess I'm kind of in that mix. I've always felt like that Grantham was a little bit problematic, and there's certainly plenty of evidence from his time at Georgia that suggests that. However, I think for Florida having to replace a defensive coordinator this late in the process, I think that would have been harder on the program. So even though I'm no great fan of Grantham as a coach, keeping him for Florida is actually probably better than losing him for right now. And so that looks indeed like that's what the Gators are going to do. Another SEC story worth getting to. I saw a tweet from Jared Garantano, the Tennessee quarterback. He is apparently pretty impressed with what he's seeing from his new offensive coordinator thus far. Garantano tweeting this out, that this Coach Chaney offense, and there's a lot of fireball emojis coming off that tweet from Jared Garantano. So apparently he's very happy with the tutelage that he's getting from Jim Chaney right now. And going back to Chaney's time at Georgia, I've said this before, that I was more of a fan of Chaney than many of you were. A lot of you were pretty critical of Chaney over the course of time. I think that Chaney was fine. I don't think he was the best offensive coordinator. I don't think he was the worst offensive coordinator. I think he was just a competent offensive coordinator. There are a shortage of those. So for the most part, I do think that Tennessee will be happier having him than not having him, I guess. I don't know that he's probably worth six fireball emojis. I'd probably put the overall level of Chaney satisfaction somewhere below six fireball emojis. But nonetheless, as it stands right now, Jared Garantano is pretty happy about that. I was joking with some of our friends here before the show started today that if there was a Mount Rushmore of topics we probably talked way too much about on Dog Nation Daily, one of those may have been the Josh Belk saga from a year ago. Belk, you might remember, was a four-star defensive tackle, a 2018 signee with Clemson, but then he quickly transferred from that program. And listen, at the time, Georgia really needed those defensive linemen. I guess probably still does to a certain extent. But at the time, Georgia really needed defensive linemen, so I spent a lot of time talking about, would it be Georgia who got in the mix for Belk services? Well, no, it ended up being the other South Carolina program, the University of South Carolina, who got Josh Belk. Belk, I think probably it's fair to say, battled some weight issues while he was in Columbia, never really made much of an impact on the field, and Belk is now leaving the Gamecocks program, as South Carolina has announced this week. So this truly does end up being much ado about nothing, and sometimes that's the way it goes. Not all these prospects pan out, but whatever's going on with Belk's life now, looking for a third school in just about 2 years' time, I hope he gets it figured out, because obviously he can be a talent at a position that a lot of football programs really need, but it has not worked out for Josh Belk as of yet, and he'll be now looking for school number three moving on. Let me do one more SEC through story. It's a little bit off the beaten path a little bit, but this may be worth watching. You may have seen some national media coverage over the last day or so about Jimmy Haslam, who's the Cleveland Browns owner. There was a piece at ESPN.com not too long ago that was critical of the way the Browns organization has been run, and I think it's Sports Business Journal that's reporting that Haslam, the Browns owner, also owns Pilot Flying J, which is a truck stop slash convenience store type thing. Well, he was apparently angered enough by the coverage that the Browns got from ESPN.com that he has pulled his advertising from ESPN for Pilot Flying J. Now, I don't know what all Pilot Flying J appears on, but I have seen those commercials a lot on the SEC network. So I'm going to assume, now this is not some report, I'm just assuming, that it's going to be the SEC network that ends up being hit hardest by this millions of dollars of advertising that's been pulled back from the ESPN family of network. And it is very difficult to replace that kind of money when it's gone. You can replace some of it. It's difficult to replace all of it. One of the things that's always made the SEC network a unique sports network compared to a lot of other, as I'm going to call them, regional networks is, you know, you watch your local cable regional network that shows, like, say, Braves games here in Atlanta or something like that. They don't have a lot of programming during the day for the most part. Those networks only exist to show the games at night, Braves games, Hawks games, whatever, or in this case, SEC basketball games, baseball games, and everything else. But the SEC network's always been a little bit different in that regard because they do have programming during the day or extra shows that come on from time to time. And the only way you're able to do that is by having sponsors like Pilot Flying J. So maybe tuck this back in the corner of your mind. The SEC network just lost, apparently, a pretty significant investor into its programming, and we will watch in the months to come if that has any kind of impact on the SEC programming. For the most part, I really like what the SEC network does. I enjoy the network. I enjoy the shows that it produces. You got to have good sponsors to produce those, and the SEC network just lost one. This may be worth paying attention to, and with that, we'll make that your SEC through. And by the way, speaking of good sponsors, let me tell you about a great offer that's out there right now by our friends at Pella Window and Door. You know, they are great at equipping your house with energy-efficient windows and doors, which is a really important thing because, after all, your air conditioning bill goes up, your heating bill goes up, your house just doesn't feel as comfortable as it could if you don't have those really good windows and doors. Well, Pella Window and Door has got the best, and they provide the top-flight service for you as well because they are family-owned. It's a national company, but it's a family-owned branch right here in Georgia. So really, you get the best of both regards from that standpoint. They also offer a lifetime warranty and top-of-the-line equipment and unparalleled expertise. But even better than that, right now, they've got a terrific offer that I want to make sure you're aware of. You can currently get 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for the next 48 months. But that's only valid until March 28th. So you got to go right now to take advantage of that offer between now and March 28th. The way to get in touch with them and get your free in-home consultation scheduled is by simply going to either the website, which is PellaSoutheast.us. That's PellaSoutheast.us. Or giving them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia, it's viewed to be the best. Something else that's been viewed to be the best as of late has been Georgia on the recruiting trail. Now, we talked earlier this week about, from a statistical standpoint, you can make a case there are other programs kind of creeping in on Georgia and Alabama and the SEC. All of a sudden, it looks like this league has a bit more parity. Things are getting balanced out a little bit more. Well, we thought it was important to bring that up earlier in the week, but it's probably also important to bring up a counterexample to that about how even though some SEC teams are getting better, where it really matters, the gap with Georgia might not be closed all that much at all. An example of this, and I wanted you to see it, comes from Richard Johnson, a writer from SBNation.com, who gave Georgia a pretty good compliment the other day, that when it comes to dominating your division and recruiting, few programs have ever done that more than Georgia has, including big bad Alabama. Let me read this to you. It's a few sentences long, but I think it's important to keep in mind about just how good Georgia's been in this regard. Richard writes at SB Nation, Georgia's five-star lead over the rest of the SEC East, meaning five-star sign in comparison, is 15-4 since Smart's gotten things rolling. This type of recruiting dominance is slightly different from Alabama when you compare the Tide to the SEC West. He says, Alabama never lapped its division this way. Bama's best three-year stretch since Texas A&M joined the league was from 2013 to 2015 when it signed 18 five-stars. The rest of the West signed just 24. This obviously includes teams like LSU and Auburn. Isn't that interesting, Richard Johnson, that we think about Alabama as unprecedented recruiting success, but when it comes to compare to the rest of the division, not necessarily so, not the way that Georgia is. Because in Alabama's best time, it still did not outsign the rest of the SEC West when it comes to five-star guys. But Georgia signed 15, and the rest of the divisions only signed 4. So when it comes to punching a ticket in the SEC East to the SEC Championship game, it looks like Georgia's in pretty good shape to do that for many years to come. And I thought Richard Johnson's piece at SB Nation was pretty interesting there in that regard. Let me also say this, speaking of the SEC East and rivals therein, Florida, it has now been 838 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That is certainly good news, and we're glad to share it as a part of our Gator Hater Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily. And as I said, we love watching that number climb each and every day. I will also say we're really excited about some time off here. No show for us Friday, nor Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But we are back 1 week from today, and we'll look forward to enjoying that with you. And we'll see you then right here on Dog Nation Daily.